I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Genesis 41. We've had an electrifying and exciting time traveling around the country in the days in the Word. Been blessed to see so many of our people and blessed to see the way God is blessing them in their businesses, their profession, and in their day-by-day walk with Him. On this, the opening night of this 1979 Word in Business and Profession, I'd like to share a little of my heart from God's Word on the subject of the Word's way in business and profession. Earlier today, I told Howard Allen and our coach that we could pretty well complete my teaching in less than 30 seconds tonight. Because I said to him, it's very simple to put the Word into your business or profession. Put it on and into practice in your life, and you will put it into practice in your business or profession. Now we can all go home. That's it. As Dr. Weingartner was giving a word of prophecy tonight, I wonder how he knew that some of the phrases that I had in my heart and mind would be coming up in the teaching. But he made mention of some things that fit right in with the statement that I had in my heart and mind to share with you people, that there are no answers to personal problems. There are no answers to social problems. There are no answers to political problems. There are no answers to family problems. There are no answers to financial problems. There are no answers to business problems. There are no answers to profession problems in this world outside of God's Word. In Genesis chapter 41, a number of brothers thought they were doing themselves a favor by getting rid of a brother. And they sent him by special group of Ishmaelites and others to Pharaoh in Egypt. And something occurred in Egypt at that time. If this brother had not been in Egypt, I do not know what would have happened to the history of the world by now. But God in His infinite providence, He is still the God of history. And this man, Joseph, was in Egypt. And he interpreted a dream to Pharaoh about 7 very plentiful years and 7 very difficult lean years. And then he told Pharaoh that it'd be the smart thing to do would be to pick out one person out of the whole Egyptian kingdom and to set him as the one man over the top. And then Pharaoh makes this tremendous statement in Genesis 41, which I'm going to read just one verse. But I want you to get a picture in your mind that Pharaoh was not the most outstanding Christian believer, Christian quote, end of quote, of the times. In other words, you would not consider him within the pale. He was sort of on the outside. I think they generally would refer to him as an unbeliever. Well, he makes this fantastic statement in the 38th verse of the 41st chapter of Genesis. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? What a fantastic statement. By a man whom you would not have considered thinking in terms of great spiritual truth. He perhaps wasn't thinking great spiritual truth. He was just thinking logically for a change. And if anybody ever gets to thinking logically or even reasonably, there is no way out of anything without God's Word. And when you reason logically and honestly on God's Word, you've got to get born again. There is no other way to go. You just have to get born again. Because when you're born again of God's Spirit, it's God in Christ in you. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt be saved. At that moment, it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the power of God. It's eternal life. It is the Holy Spirit, God's gift to you. Pharaoh saw this, that in this man there was the Spirit of God. And that's what got Egypt out of the soup. One man, just one man in a nation with the Spirit of God. But the head ruler, Pharaoh himself, said, where can we find such a one? And not too many men crossed Pharaoh on that decision. So, outside of God's word, people, there are no answers to the individual problems or the collective problems of a society. To show you the word's way in business and profession, a step further, let's go to Exodus. We have established that an unbeliever believed in a man who had the Spirit of God. In Exodus chapter 31, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see? And the word see is, take a look at, get your eyeballs open. Pay attention, that's why it's there. See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of what? In wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Fantastic. Because God had put his spirit upon Moses. He had told Moses that he wanted him to build the tabernacle and the ark and so forth. The Ark of the Covenant. Told him all of this. Now how's he going to get it done? Oh, he's just going out and pick out any old unbeliever he can find. Any place, and if he's pretty good carving or pretty good painting, he'll pick him up. No. Look at the word. God wouldn't have anybody working on anything unless he was filled with the Spirit. Verse 3, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of what? That is the word's way in business and profession. If you ever want to be God's best, or if you ever want to be the best, you have to get filled with the Spirit. You must be born again. But in addition to that, you have to learn how to walk with the Spirit, how the Spirit speaks, how the Spirit guides. God taught Moses all of this. Then God told Moses he had called this businessman, this professional man. He had called him, and he said, I'll put my spirit upon him too. And there are four things I want you to note. He had wisdom, and the number four deals with the world situation, and they're going to build this thing in the world, so it's got to be done in the worldly situation. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. Then something else. Verse 4. To devise cunning works. Cunning works. To devise, to manufacture, to set up, to develop. Cunning works. The word cunning is absolutely out of order. It's not cunning works. The literal word used here is to devise works of art. That's the word. Works of art. A cunning, to my mind, would be a cunning hunter or someone that's a little tricky, a little sly, a little, you know, so-so. No. The Spirit in here, by that Spirit, they were going to do works of art. Boy, if you ever want works of art, you got to get filled with God's Spirit. People, there's no other way to go. Just got to have the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and then learn how God speaks, and then listen to God. This God directed. He did not want one unbeliever working on this tabernacle and this whole thing for the children of Israel. Everyone had to be a person filled with the Spirit that was going to do any work. That's the Word's way, people, in business and profession. Look, he was to do works of art in gold, silver, brass, cutting of stone, stonework, and in carving of timber, woodwork, to work in all manner of workmanship in these categories. And if you will notice, there are five categories, the number for grace, which were to go into the tabernacle tent. Gold, silver, brass, stone, and what? Timber. People, there is no other way than the Word's way, which is the way of God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you want to be a successful business man or a successful man in any profession, because God, via His Spirit, can teach you, because you have His Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you have to put on the mind of Christ. You have to walk according to the Word. And you just have to declare the greatness of that Word in your heart and life. I'm tremendously blessed by the exhibits that are here, the sharing that's here by our people for this weekend of Word in Business and Profession. But I think what blessed me just superabundantly is Steve Bunfeld's great work on the table over here with all the beauty. Where are you, Steve? You got to be in here someplace. Where? Come up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. You're the only smart man here. You took your coat off.
Thank you, sir.
Good. You can take your coat off anytime. I'm going to take mine off, too, if I get too hot. You fellas can take yours off. I don't know how to help you ladies any. But Steve, tell them a little bit in your heart, because I know we... You know, you and I didn't sit down and talk about it, but I ain't stupid. God had to work in your heart to produce some of that stuff that you're doing just out of your love of your heart to bless people. What'd you feel when you started on? What'd God do to you?
Well, I think the greatest thing that probably got me started on this is that the fact that you yourself, sir, teach and preach the bread of life, the non-compromising accuracy of God's Word, which I'm truly thankful for. And I've just seen more and more, particularly since last Word in Business when I was here, how our people need to see other standards in Word in Business. And I just want to be able to bless our people and serve them the best possible physical bread as well as the best bread of life as well.
And that's what he does. This is his profession. Who helped you on that?
Ron Smith, who just finished the class 2 days ago, sir.
Yeah. He's filled too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. I like those little houses you got up there. But what do you make all that out of?
Everything that's up at the table, sir, is all out of edible products. It's all out of different types of foods and sugars and candies.
I think Mrs. Weirwill told me, didn't you, honey, they had 200 pounds in what?
It's all the Gingerbread Village, which is the centerpiece, has over 200 pounds of edible candies and sugars and all edible foods, sir.
Well, maybe when it's over with, we take an hour off and we go eat it, huh?
Well, certainly you can see it's an occupational hazard.
Well, a man has to advertise his own product, so... really, thank you very much. But this is the kind of thing. He just brought this to bless people. He just did it to bless people. And out of his heart. But he does this as a profession. But this is the kind of stuff that I like it worried a bit. That's the first time we've ever had anything like that. Thanks very much.
It's a great pleasure for me, sir. Thank you.
Okay. God love you.
God bless you.
Yeah. Well, that's children of Israel. That's what they did. Just got God put spirit on them. They walked that way. And boy, they did works of art. Class, there are only two ways to go as far as I'm concerned. You either sell out to the true God or sell out to the counterfeit God, the adversary, the devil. Make up your mind. And people, when you sell out to completely to one or the other. Now, you can't do that, a lot of you anymore. God's got you hooked. Praise the Lord. But, so you see, it isn't just to be born again. You've got to sell out to Him, to God. You've got to believe that God is a reality. His word is true, people. There is absolutely no way for an individual out of any dilemma without the word of God. Outside of God's word, people, there is no way. Why then not go back to the word and read it? Then do it. It always happens. Sell out. Businessmen, you've got to sell out to God and His word. Professional men to God and His word. We take a stand. We just take a stand. I think the reason I thought about Steve, not that he did anything more than a lot of you did by preparing yourself to be here and to share your heart too, but he had a scripture up there, and I wondered why he had that scripture and how he would know that I was going to work that scripture. So that Ephesians 6. I'm going to do something tonight I have never done with a group of people publicly. But I've done it in my own heart and life and privately at times with individuals as I've counseled and helped them in business and profession. But I'm going to show you a parallel between a Christian father and his child. That there are spiritual similarities to the relationship of between a Christian employer and his Christian employee. It's chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 4. I'm first of all going to read the King James exactly as it's written here, and then I'm going to read you what I have literally worked from the integrity of the word as a parallel to our Christian employers and employees. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And here is the parallel. Verse 4. And employers, do not deliberately irritate and exasperate your employee, but work with them as a loving father with a child, keeping in mind your actions as a Christian. Verse 5. Employees, listen and carry out your employer's wishes with respect and in detail, with the simple purity of your heart, as if your employer was Christ. Verse 6. Not just when the employer is watching you, so at that time you please him, but as a Christian employee who is a slave of Jesus Christ, you will be doing the will of God in your work for your employer with all your ability and strength. Verse 7, with a mind to work, doing your work as a believer, would do it for the Lord, and not just because he is your employer watching you. Verse 8. Knowing that if you work in this manner, the blessings of your Christian employer will be yours as a Christian employee. Verse 9. And you, employers, also do the same with and for your employees. Refrain from promising things to your employees you don't keep, knowing that you as an employer are responsible to God, and that with God there is no respect of persons between employer and employee. That is a parallel translation of those verses from Ephesians. In Isaiah chapter 49, remember Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you to do what? To will and to do his good pleasure. Putting that together with Ephesians, putting that together with the earlier records in Exodus and all through the Word, where men had the Spirit of God and produced great works of art. There's this wonderful record in Isaiah 49. We'll start with verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his troubled ones. But Zion, these are supposed to be the believers. They said, the Lord hath left us, forsaken us. My Lord hath forgotten about me. The prophet said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, God said. Here is the great 16th verse. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy palms, thy walls are continually before me. People, when you and I are born again of God's Spirit, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are constantly before God. God is always bearing his arm for us. God is always working for us. Look at your hands. Go ahead, look at them. How many of you got them tattooed? How many of you people have tattoos on your other parts of your body? Hold up your hands. Got to be a couple of you sinners in here. How come you didn't put it on your palms? Because nobody could stand the engraving in the palms. And that's exactly where God engraved you. Where nobody else could stand it. He engraved you in the palms of his hands. Condescensio figure, but it's fantastic. He engraved you in the palms of his hand. And the walls are the palms. He's always looking at your name that's engraved in the palm of his hand. That's our God, people. That's his tenderness to his people. That's why you are the most successful business and professional men. You are men who in business and profession do works of art. I doubt if a farmer has ever thought about a work of art, but he sure thought a lot of times he must have gotten help from God or someplace, because it just doesn't come to pass because you haphazardly sow something. But people, God is with his people. It's a work of art. Every time I see a blade of grass, I think of a work of art. When I see a stem of wheat or oats or barley growing with the ear at the top, I see it as a work of art that God, because he planned what? But if you hadn't planted it, wouldn't be there. I think every business, every profession must have believers filled with the Spirit to produce the works of art. And this is why I believe this particular year of word and business and profession is so unique for you. I do not believe you just came by accident. I think you are here by providence. By the providence of God. So that you can deepen in your heart the commitment to the great integrity and accuracy of the word. To your fellow brothers and sisters, and then learn how more and more to receive the revelation from God so that you, having the Spirit of God in you, produce those works of art in your business and in your profession. I have said thousands of times that God has never made a failure. I believe that with all my heart because I know the Word says this. God is not in business of building failures. He is in business of building men and women that have a life that's more than what? Who are more than conquerors. That's why we have to move with the greatness of the power of God, be born again, filled with His Spirit, then live by the Word and the moving of that Spirit of God in our life to will and to do His good pleasure. You think about it, but I think that's the basic message to the word and business men and women and in the professions here at this wonderful occasion this year. Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening my heart to your people for a little while. Thank you for setting the greatness of the word for them again tonight so they'll be able to understand all your goodness and grace and walk by it and produce great, wonderful works of art in their businesses and in their professions. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a poem and talks about if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two. And if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest. And all the food you'd serve to him would be the absolute best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there. Serving him in your home is a joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where it should have been? Would you turn off the TV and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, ugly, nasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Or could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet you, your very closest friends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend a night or two with you. That's the great poem by Mrs. Lois Blanchard, If Jesus Came to Your Hearts. I think we'd be blessed and are blessed having him, because we so live that we hold forth his word, and we are God's people that move this word because we witness to the truth of it, and we endeavor to live it with the best of our ability to hold it forth that other people can be blessed like we are. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak to you. It's all yours.